Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Ooh, I know Brandon's going to like this headline. Here it is. Christianity's got a branding problem.
Oh.
Via Jessica Gross in the New York Times. How is Jessica on the Woke MAGA meter,
oh,
Brandon?
Oh, Jessica is a WAGA scale 9.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
So if 0 is fully MAGA, fully Trump, 10 is AOC, she's probably an 8 or a 9 on the That's my opinion. I don't know. I just look at her. I always base this on Twitter feeds. Like, what are you reposting? What are your comments? She's an op-ed writer for the New York Times, so she's kind of written some stuff about, she's done a ton of stuff on women's fertility issue, which I respect.
That.
By the way, being an 8 on the WAGA is not a bad thing, or being a 2 on the WAGA is not a bad thing. It's just a matter of, we're trying to give some bias background for people, like showing that this is not a person that is like a pro-Trump MAGA guy writing this article.
All right, let's read a couple smidges, 2 paragraphs. Don't get crazy on me. Political polarization, however, is it the only reason for the rise of nuns? A catch-all term for atheists, agnostics, and those who say they have no religion in particular. Nuns went from 0% to 2% of the population in the 50s, according to Gallup, to somewhere between 20 and 30% of Americans today, depending on which survey you look at. While moderate and liberal boomers did not move away from religion as they got older, the percentage of Americans nuns really began to increase in the late 1990s. With the fall of the Iron Curtain and the end of the Cold War, it became easier to come out as having no religion, said Petra Klug, author of Anti-Atheist Nation. Religion became less tightly connected to nationalism, so it was no longer seen as treasonous for you to not show up to church on Sunday. Brandon, here, let me start with this question, and this is a question. Do you call yourself a Christian?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Do you not call yourself a Christian anymore?
No, I would not. And that's because I just don't know how someone is going to interpret that term.
Well, I mean, I don't get into that with conversations with people.
No, but
per se.
Like, if I was at a bar with a bunch of people I didn't know, they'd be like, are you a Christian? I'd be like, no.
Really?
Because then I'm in San Francisco. Then someone
okay, but that's not. But that's not okay. But that's a different reason for calling yourself or not calling. You don't want to make other people uncomfortable. Yourself, you feel like that would make people uncomfortable. But would you say, in this bubble of trust, no one else is listening, it's you and me here, obviously, would you call yourself a Christian?
Yes, but if someone in that same bar said, "Larry, are you a person of faith?" I would say, "Yes."
Yeah,
are you a spiritual person?
I get what you're saying. I don't.
It's
look
a loaded
at being,
term. That's what my point is. It's
I don't
a
see
term.
It as a problem, because if I had to, if somebody said, "Oh, I
live
say,
in the South, Brandon."
No, if I lived in San Francisco for 25 years, longer than you, Jack Wagon. I'm from the Bay Area, douche. Oh, you're an Orange County turd ball. You're like literally from the home of the Crystal Cathedral. Don't even start with me. I got
good point.
I got serious creds, dude. So here's my point about that: is that the term Christian comes from the Greek Christos, meaning followers of Christ. Christ is a Greek term that means Messiah, the Mashiach, the once in a generation. The Jewish people that followed Jesus at that time believed that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and they began to follow him. They were not called, that was a term that was coined by Paul, not by the early followers. That was much later on. Christian just means a follower of the Messiah. I believe, can I prove it? No, but I do believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Now, can people poke holes in that? Of course they can. Can people think I'm weird? Yes, of course. I don't care, because I wouldn't say to somebody who was a Muslim or an LDS or what I'd go, oh, really? That's an interesting set of beliefs. But hey, you have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. I happen to believe that. Now, you seem to be worried about what people are going to think about you more than I do, so that doesn't bother me. But do I believe there's a branding problem? Absolutely.
2 things. First off, JC was a carpenter, as you know, Brandon.
Sure.
And I do believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the reason I believe that is, if you live like Jesus lived, take care of the less fortunate, look out for the widows and the orphans, mm-hmm. you will be freed and you will be saved. So that's why I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world.
You just don't believe in the sort of the standard view of the Christian faith that you have to believe in Jesus in order to go to heaven. You're not like buying into that anymore.
Well, once again, if you live like Jesus lived, you will be in heaven. So, I believe that's okay, the interpretation.
So is that a semantics issue, or do you fundamentally?
I don't think it's a semantics. I think because there are lots of, I would say most Christians disagree with what I said.
Yeah, and I have a problem with those people that get all caught up into the, well, you know, verily, verily, I say unto thee, if thou was not born of, you know, again, thou cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm like, wow, dude, you don't even, you think it was written in the King James Version? Okay, so like, you know, the vision of a lot of Christians is, and by the way, she references it in this article about the fact that one of the reasons the thought is that people are now becoming nuns, the N-O-N-E's, people that have no faith or don't go to religion, are leaving Christianity is because they don't, they've got the internet. They've got more information at their fingertips. Yeah. They can look this all up and say, wait a second, the Nicene Creed, which is the cornerstone belief, sort of pledge of allegiance, if you will, of the Christian church. For many Christian churches, I believe one God, the Father, the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, that whole thing, that didn't come about until the fourth century. So early Christians were not saying the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed or whatever else to say, hey, this is what I believe. This is something that was formed over hundreds, if not thousands of years. So I think that the point that she was trying to make, and by the way, she's Jewish. She's fully out there, says, I'm Jewish. I'm an outsider writing about this. And I think having worked at a Jewish
Shabbat
day school, well, it's not Shabbat, but sure, Larry. Having worked at a Jewish day school for a long time, it was a great education for me about Jews. They have a fundamentally different vision of faith than we do in Christianity. She even says this in there. She's like, why would you like change your faith just because you don't believe in God? For her, Judaism is as much a cultural thing as it is a faith. For most Christians, and by the way, you're hammering at evangelical Christians now, because he even references those sort of mainline Christians of like, people like, yeah, I just can't buy into it because it's too right-wing Christian or whatever, that she's saying that it's, in Judaism, it's as much a culture as it is a religion, and in Christianity, evangelical Christianity, it is everything. It's the faith, and if you don't believe in the faith, you can't be a cultural Christian and not be a believer in God, is what she's saying.
Evangelical Christianity is a platform and a giant show.
Sure.
That's what it is these days. It's become the Trump wing of the Republicans.
Yeah.
And by the way, evangelical Christianity, I would like to harken back to the 80s. Tammy Faye Baker had this large program where they tried to convert people to Jesus. And if you didn't believe in that Jesus, you were going to hell. As we well know, Tim and Tammy Faye Baker were a large hypocrite couple. Yeah. They were not even together, really. She might have been a lesbian. There's all sorts of things.
I'm going to push back on you a little bit, buddy, because I want to say that it's not what this article's about, but I do want to say that Christianity has many different facets. When you watch that documentary, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, you realize that she became what you and I would believe is a Christian. She loved complete conversion of like, hey, I'm going to love like Jesus. I'm going to love gay people.
She totally evolved.
Yes. And so I think that it's, I'm always reticent to get into this, like putting people in a box, because just because someone's an evangelical now doesn't mean they'll always be an evangelical.
Evangelical Christianity, in my opinion, has become a show. It's a magician. You go to a church where there is a smoke machine and a laser show, and you feel good about yourself for 90 minutes, and then you go home back to the same miserable person you are. It is not about, it's like a statistical analysis of, we got 500 souls today, we win. Not a matter of people evolved as human beings.
I think that's a very simplistic view of it. There are plenty of places that want to evolve people, for sure, even in the evangelical world.
But as we well know, because we talk about all the time, the young whippersnappers, Gen Z, Gen Z Alpha, do not want to go to a show anymore. They want a place with authenticity and not a smog machine. And
so not smog, but that would be funny if there was a smog machine.
So they do not want to go to the show anymore. That's why less people are calling themselves Christians.
Yeah, and obviously, typically people are, you've asked me this, well, do you think Maple will be going? Well, we take Maple to church every Sunday.
Yes.
And by the way, you take your kids, so don't act like you take
your
kids.
No, they can't take me, by the way, but go on.
Whatever, but they go to church. So what my point is that the reason someone becomes Jewish by and large is because their parents were Jewish and they raised them in it. The reason they become Muslim is because by and large their parents were Muslim and so on and so on. It's LDS, whatever it is. Typically, it's a familial thing that you come.
Yep.
You know, I was raised in the church. My daughter's going to be raised in the church, but I have a very different view of why I'm raising her in the church. If she came to me some point and said, I don't want to go to church anymore, in my opinion, at 14 years old,
you'd slap her?
No, I would say it's your choice. I don't want you to go to a place
and
that you don't feel.
And you wouldn't be disappointed. And you wouldn't
I would
be
not
disappointed.
Be disappointed. Exactly. Because I want her to come of her faith of her own volition. That's how I really believe. Because I think that if she doesn't come of it of her own, it's not going to be authentic. And I believe God wants us to be authentic in our belief and our faith. Now, let me push back a little bit. Because this is what the, I could just hear the evangelicals screaming at the pod machines now. When they're listening to this, they're saying, but if you don't raise your children right, they're going to fall on the wayside. They'll go the way of the devil law, right? If you're not going to indoctrinate them, then they're just going to do anything. I'm like, I don't think so, because I've known a lot of evangelical Christians that were raised in the church that end up being complete losers because they feel cheated, because they don't feel like it was authentic. So I would rather my daughter come about. Do I want her to join some Wiccan cult? No.
Yep.
But I want her to come. But I want her to come of it of her own volition.
You don't use Wiccan cult enough here on the Smarticle podcast. I will say this: I've lived in this city for 18 years, and I very specifically remember.
I did 25. I don't want to brag, but I was there for 25. Go ahead.
I remember going to church, and I moved to the city because that's where my wife lived, and I remember being
Frosted Tips. I remember that.
Yes, remember being with our neighbors and friends. People would meet out. I was like cringe to think that someone would even. Can mention me in the name of someone, go to church. And by the way, remember there was that Proposition 8 where it was like very, like the evangelicals put the, like, you can't
marriage.
And it was just that the evangelicals, so I was like, all my neighbors are judging me for all these homophobic evangelicals.
Well, what's ironic is about you is that you worked for the most Christian radio station.
Not when I moved to San Francisco.
No. But before that, what I'm saying is that our life is a process.
Yes. And I remember being petrified that someone would find out 18 years ago that I went to church, but I am now very comfortable of saying I go to church in San Francisco because I am an evolved human being and it means way more. I'm not trying to convert somebody anymore.
Well, let's go back a little bit to the article because the title of the article is that Christianity has a branding problem.
Yes.
Which is a very businessy term, right? It was to be brand. Yeah. I don't think that Christianity has any sort of a branding problem.
Oh,
I think what Christianity has a problem with is an understanding of its own teachings.
Yeah.
This last week, Timothy Keller, who was a very, very famous evangelical pastor, died. And a lot of my friends were like, oh, RIP Tim Keller. And I like Tim Keller. I actually went to his church in New York City. He was you got to look up the definition of that. But so I was familiar with his teaching. I thought he was a good teacher. He was like professorial, but I was never like, wow, he's changing my life. I think that what Tim Keller did was he rebranded Christianity. He made it okay to be an intellectual Christian. And so a lot of really educated folks who wanted to become Christians or already were like, oh, here's a guy that speaks our language. What people don't talk about Tim Keller about is that he was anti-women in leadership and in the pulpit.
Yep.
He was anti-gay and lesbian. I mean, when I say anti, I don't think Tim Keller would have said he was against them, but he felt like that there were rules that I think are antiquated and wrong, fundamentally wrong, that he misunderstood his own scripture.
Gay people were going to burn in hell.
Whatever. My point to this whole thing is
hardline stance.
Tim Keller was a great writer and a great teacher, but he wasn't God.
Nope.
But you would swear from a lot of people's perspective, oh, Tim Keller, he was changed by, he was the greatest thing. Good. If Tim Keller led you to a place where you were growing as a person and becoming fuller and more alive, and just what you said, you're going to treat your neighbors differently and you're going to love on your gay neighbors differently than you would have, then I'm all for it. But if you became more entrenched, if you became more dogmatic, then he was not good.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. I would agree with you. But you're right, people. He definitely had the hard edge of there is a heaven and a hell. And you're going to burn it if you don't say the prayer, which is funny to think from this highly intellectual man that studied the Bible a gazillion times more than I ever will in my life, was sending someone to a burning pit of fire.
Well, maybe he was right then, Larry. What if at the end of the day he was right?
That's a good point. You know what? God, man. So am I going to the pit of fire or are you joining me? Are you coming with me?
I'm thinking I'm covered. Born again.
You are?
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm not making fun of evangelicals like you are. I feel pretty safe, Larry.
Oh, man. That's kind of bumming me out. I thought we'd be there together.
Oh, no. I'm going to go to the good place.
Brandon, thank you today for your humble brags. Thank you for your Tim Keller. Thank you for the fact that you're going to the good place, and I'm going to the bad place. Have fun.
You're welcome.